This is Biggie, and you're listening to the best of the New Day, Feel the Power on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call emanating from Atlanta, Georgia, Lando Lakes, Florida, and the mean streets of Metro City, it's the New Day, Feel the Power, with your host, Big E. Take it away, Big E.
First of all, I already stated that I am not the host. That is our boy, Woodsy. Second of all, it's good to have you back, Dan, doing the intro after a week off. Yeah, I appreciate that. Your voice is even more Kermit-y than usual.
It's very, we heard a crack. Are you
I was like, are you getting emotional? You know, you missed it so much. You just so happened to be back that your voice is cracking. It emanated from us. You know? you can't get through it. You know what I'm saying?
It's just so good. I've never seen the Muppet Show. Sound anything like Kermit?
Yeah, there's a resemblance. There's a bit of resemblance,
like a relative.
It's Kermit who's eaten nothing but Taco Bell for you all this time.
Yeah, that eggshells.
No one has ever compared me to Kermit for 10 years in comment sections until you guys.
Well, sometimes you learn something new about yourself. Doesn't matter how old you are.
You're welcome.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA, I make calls, I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
We have fantastic guests. Go ahead, E.
First of all, you go ahead. You go ahead. You're the host.
I thought you were the host.
You are the host. Now quit doing this.
You know what? Matter of fact, today Kofi's host.
Kofi is not the host. Kofi's that wasn't even in the discussion. You know damn well I'm in the middle of the sandwich.
We're here to coast. We're here to coast and ride your coattails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you got the G4, you got it up, down, down.
This is what you do, baby. Bro. This is what you do.
We're just
all right, ladies and gentlemen, we have two fantastic guests with us here today. But first, I am Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
And I am Kofi Kingston.
And I'm a man who's really been put through a lot, you know, a lot of ups and downs. A man who used to be able to, walk around with his head up high. Because he had a last name. He was connected to a family, to a group of people. Biggie Langston, a strong name, a name you could rely on, a name that you could trust in, a name that you could, if you had kids, like, I'll have Biggie Langston watch my kids. But Biggie, that's a derelict. Biggie, I wouldn't trust him. That's, they stripped me of all of, everything that made me a man of some respect, of some notoriety. It's gone. So that's what I've been doing the last 7 years or so is trying to find some connection to family, trying to find some respectability. So many of you who are younger only know me as Biggie, but I once was Biggie Langston. I once was somebody. I used to be a contender. Thank you.
Used to be a contender.
I'm
surprisingly emotional behind all of this.
You see? And that is one of our fantastic guests. Evan, tell them about yourself and who you are, where you come from.
Hey, everybody. My name is Evan Narciss. I'm a professional writer. I've written journalism about video games, comic books, movies, and now I'm writing comic books, animation, video games, And I am the co-writer of the New Day, The Power of Positivity, issue number one, the comic book featuring the three brilliant, brown, moisturized. Who you guys come here to listen to every week. So I'm one of the co-writers of the comic book. And with me, I have one of my dear friends, a brother from another mother, even though there'd be a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
Austin Walker, why don't you tell the people who you are? I mean, there's so much.
But it's also not that different from you, right? Because like I met you through the video game journalism scene here in New York forever ago still in New York.
The black video game journalism scene.
It was like me, you, and N-Guy, and that was it at the time. So it's gotten bigger. But I came up through that. I used to be at a site called Giant Bomb. Then I founded a site called Waypoint. I do a show called Friends at the Table. I do a show called A More Civilized Age. I do a lot of podcasts. I do a lot of writing, fiction, nonfiction. It's the whole thing. And Evan brought me on to do this comic and said, hey, you know, I would love to have your expertise as someone who's followed the New Day for years and years on this one. And I was like, that's an honor for me. I would love to tell a sort of fictionalized, but sort of still deeply real version of that story. And obviously, Austin, you and I had met through video game stuff years before that.
I somehow jumped in that small circle of black video game
people. Yeah. We met at like an E3 or something.
We all talked about you, by the way.
We were like, who is he?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Like, hey guys, can I say something? Just wanna,
he has a very successful YouTube channel now. He must be talented.
But one thing that's super important. So Austin, when we met, I found out that you were also gunning for your PhD. And
yeah,
you
have both in the same thing. I do not have it now. I do not have it now. No, man, I dropped out, man. I did the thing of like, yeah, this is it. You and I, when we met, it was like, man, two black brothers trying to do a PhD while trying to hold down a full-time job in the public eye to some degree, way less public for me. I mean, we were doing streaming and stuff like that, but obviously it's a different situation. And I felt like we bonded over the stress that was like, how do I keep up with this schoolwork that I care deeply about while still trying to like put food on the table, not go crazy with too much work. And I ended up just, you know what it was people in my field were like, what are you doing trying to do both of these things? You made it. Like, you have a job. Most people who finish PhDs don't get a job right off the rip. So right. Like, keep what you got and do what right. You're doing. And so I stayed with that. And so, yeah, yes, we mirror each other here a little bit at least.
Wait,
so.
No, the same.
I feel you.
So what you guys who are listening heard that we just kind of ran through, we got this comic book coming if you ain't heard already.
Come on, baby.
E, hit him with the dates. When does it drop?
Look, I make it clear to you that you are the host and you're supposed to have all the relevant information because
Dan told us. He just told us.
How you going to drop a pop quiz on your boy?
You know, he revels in this because he knows that my memory is not airtight. If I don't write things down, I'm not going to remember it. So make sure to cut that part out, Sean.
No, because anytime he gets a chance to do this to me, he takes it and digs
No,
in
I
it.
Would never. I would never. That's not in my wheelhouse. It's not in my character. You hit him with the dates, please. I know it's soon. It's around the corner.
I texted you.
You did. It's too late. July 7th, man, is the big day. 3 days after Independence Day. And finally, you know, in many ways, our comic will be freed from the lack of not being able to see it.
I mean, honestly, because let me tell you, though. Let me tell you, me and Evan finished work on this early last year on our side of it.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, like right, not pre-COVID, but right at the edge. I wrote my final part in a Starbucks I should not have been in. I knew I shouldn't have been in that Starbucks, right? And they were giving me looks like, it is late and COVID is happening. What are you doing here? And I was like, I can't write at home. I got to not be here. So it was like March when I think
you literally took your health in your own hands.
That's right. It's like method acting, but for writing. I'm like, well, they're in the ring giving it their all. I got to be out here in my version of the ring.
Exactly.
It's not about him battling in the Starbucks. Battling,
that's right. I got to find metaphors and whatnot, you know?
And we give me a latte too.
Yes.
We did tag team the chapters. We're not going to reveal who wrote what, but we did tag team the chapters.
Ooh.
So it's four chapters. It's two books. Right? It's two books total. Four chapters spread between those two books, basically. And yeah, you'll have to guess who wrote what. We work together on every chapter, but...
But, you know, I think how everything started was, you know, Boom reached out to me, the publisher that has a WWE license. And, you know, it was definitely to do a comic book about you guys. And, you know, I'm a lapsed wrestler enthusiast. You know, like, I don't watch every week like I used to, but there was a moment of time when I did. And, you know, and when I was a kid, I was all into it. You know, like, every week, every show I could catch. And, you know, the thing for me growing up was, whenever you saw Black performers, they were very much, you know, cutting the mold of really big, broad stereotypes, right? And I was like, yeah, you know, Coco Beware is not giving me anything that feels true to my experience. And, you know, like, I'm from the Caribbean. My parents are Haitian. So, you know, there might be exotic, you know, birds up in my space sometimes. Yeah. When I went back to Haiti, I would see some birds I could identify, but, like, you know, so stuff like that, feeling not reflected, feeling not, you know, represented in this thing that I love so much, which later as I get into comics and video games, like, oh, right, this feeling is very familiar.
That's so everything.
That, you know, and when you guys came out as a tag team, I was like, oh, wait, these are the dudes I've been waiting for my entire life, you know, like, well past my prime. But, you know, like, the way you guys can speak to a new generation without, I think, having to embody like a gimmick that doesn't come from y'all, I mean, was really, you know, inspirational and powerful to me, like, as somebody from the outside looking in.
That's kind of what we talked about a little bit when we were approached about the comic book, and they're like, oh, is there anything specific that you guys want? I remember we told them we want somebody who has kind of like lived a little bit of the same struggle and is in this field, because it's just going to come more naturally. Because if you're writing things that we say in vernacular and things like that, it's easier to kind of mesh with that with somebody who has kind of maybe gone through some of the similar things. And so they're like, oh, you know, this guy's worked on Miles Morales. We're like, yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Help, do that. Help. And then as soon as we heard that, Austin, as soon as we heard what you were in, it's like, oh, this, it's so good, because no one has the same experiences. There's a couple of overlays, but everybody gets a little bit of something different. So to have two guys like y'all, like yourselves, who have gone through so much in your own specific fields, but then also understand the ins and outs of wrestling because you've watched it and been fans of it and you've kind of seen what we do, it made us very comfortable when we heard that you guys were going to be the ones working on it, because we knew that we'd get something that was that felt true.
Man, know? I hope we did it justice in the end, because, you know, I think about, you mentioned Coco Beware. For me, thinking about Charles Wright as Papa Shango as a kid and being like, my impulse is to root for him because that's me on the screen. But also, okay, like, this is the limit. Is this the limit of it? Is this as far as we can get? And obviously, there are other brothers who came through and did stuff, and obviously other Black women wrestlers also, obviously. But then I think about the early days with you and the way in which y'all had something to say and found a way to say it without saying it, found a way to reach the audience without necessarily saying certain words out loud. And being like, how do we take that energy and bring it into a book, which has its own limits, right? Like, it's not a documentary and it's not a true behind the scenes look at what y'all went through. But if we could capture a little bit of that energy and a little bit what that brought to me at the time when y'all were first starting as a trio, then I think we did an okay job.
It's really great to hear that too, because it is like very much our goal to do all of those things, you know? And it, you know, it's kind of emotional when you hear people say that, like, hey, this is what we got from you. And like, that's the message that we like strived to put out, you know? So, you know, and reading the comic book too, just like Woods was saying, and trusting you guys with being able to like encapsulate our voices and our presence and our just energy for the most part is, you know, 100%. Like, you guys nailed it, to the actual point where I was laughing today, because there's one point in the first book where E's fighting a spoiler alert, little tidbit here. Okay. It's a little tidbit where E is like fighting off a group of bullies.
Yep.
And he's talking a bunch of trash to him. And he says, oh, what's the matter? What? Something about your mama doesn't cook your macaroni right? Cook the macaroni all the way through so it's still crunchy? Just the other day, I was making a bowl of pasta with some Beyond Meat for my son. And I undercooked the pasta. And it was too late because I drained it out and everything. And I went to go eat it. I was like, oh, no. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to spoil it for him. Because if he likes it, then cool. Like, if he's cool with it, I'm cool. So then he takes a bite and he's like, daddy, it's really crunchy. I'm like, yeah, sorry. He's like, it's okay, it's still good. I'm like, oh, thank you, son. But you know what I mean? Like,
yep,
it's little scenarios like that where like
E would have roasted you. If E was in the room, he would have just, that would have been, it would have been 100%, done.
100%.
It would have been done.
Crunchy pasta, you know? But that vibe and that energy, man, like it felt like it was us. So thank you guys for being able to do that in such an impactful way. I'm really excited for everyone to get to see this.
I think that was the first conversation Evan and I had once we knew we were on the project was, how do we bring these dudes to life on the page to be true to them without just quoting and trying to get at something real, and to talk about both the way that they've been boxed in from the outside and then broken out of that box. And E talking trash and being funny and not just a big guy was a huge part of that characterization. Was like, yo, E kills it on the mic, has always killed it on the mic. And making that the kind of center point of that characterization felt like the right call. Is that, that's my memory of it, Evan. Maybe am I making this up in reverse? Okay.
No, 100%. You know, it's funny, like in terms of personalities, like what you guys do in the ring, like they're so clearly delineated, you know, like, so like Kofi being a dude that does high risk moves, high energy moves, you know what I'm saying? Like high flying and a lot of improvisation. Like part of figuring out the story is like, how do we show like a younger Kofi, like learning to figure that stuff out, you know? And then, you know, obviously your story within the ring as a performer has had you walk through stuff that you're like, I don't know how that feels. So it feels like a little, but you're like, okay, if you're us at home watching, you're like, all right, well, this is what they're doing with this man. But like, you know, that little bit of dissonance between like the presentation and the actual like truth of the performer behind it, you know, like for certain characters, it's huge, right? Like, you know, we're not going to walk down the street and see Undertaker, you know, tomorrow and be like, oh, okay, that dude is actually probably, you know, a hellborn. A demon who never leaves, you know. But like when it comes to something like the character of Kofi Kingston, like I'm supposed to know this dude, and I kind of don't. So figuring out like what that journey is and has been for you guys was really important. And like listening to the podcast was a great tool early on, like because you guys, those first episodes, obviously you talked about it in a very transparent way, what it was to develop as a team, as an entity. And the pressures that you felt during that process.
And again, like our struggle as performers and a lot of people within WWE, like you're given like one shot. Oftentimes it's a character that you might not agree with, but you have to figure out a way to make it work. So like that theme was very like evident in the comic as well, right? Having to find a way to break out of the box that they're trying to stuff you in, you know, and do it in your own unique way, but still try to give them what, you know, what they want, you know, with the business aspect of things. So like all those undertones are like, I'm like, man, these guys are, it's more than just reading frame to frame. Like there's a lot you have to think about and a lot that's like a lot of it that was really true.
I was just going to say how you came up to PAX when I was up there and you just hung out for a few days and you just asked me all the questions that you wanted to get like the source material. And it's so cool to know that we had those conversations and you guys listened to the podcast and you cranked out like the product that you've cranked out. It's really cool to see.
How does that feel on your side? I'm curious, just not to cut you off, Evan, but like y'all got a comic book about you.
Bruh. It's wild.
It's so wild.
I still always go back to, just because I never want to have that feeling like, oh, I made it and everything's good. I always think back to 2014 when we first started, when we first came together. And frankly, we were three guys who thought we were very talented, but we were just trying to get on TV and like, hey, hopefully we can have this faction for 6 months and then we all benefit and then we're all elevated and our careers are in a better spot. And the fact that, like, I don't take any of the accomplishments we've had for granted. And like thinking back to 2014 and the fact that there is an incredible comic about the three of us and our journey is incredible. Like it's mind blowing when you go back to that mentality of 2014 of just a few guys who were just trying to get on TV. And you guys, you understood. It's clear from reading the comic. It's clear you guys understood the voice. And I love that you didn't just take lines from TV and from promos and insert them, but you understood the spirit of our characters, and it means a lot. So thank you for that.
We couldn't do that because, I mean, one of the core conflicts in the book is people trying to do that to you, people saying, just say these lines and you'll be successful. And you know in your hearts, that's not how it works. Not for you anyway. Maybe there's someone out there who can be given a script, and if they hit the script right, whatever. But for y'all, the heart of your strength is your heart. And so you have to be able to, it has to come from there. That was a huge focal point for us.
And, you know, like one of the things we tried to do was like, you know, explicitly link your guys' journey and accomplishments to like the journeys of the people who came before you, you know, like, you know, minor spoiler alert, like Farouk, Ron Simmons is the character in the book. And like, you know, like for me, like my own nostalgia at watching, you know, his evolution as a character, you know, like through the Nation of Domination, like, you know, the linkages are clear, right? Without Nation of Domination, you don't get The Rock. You don't get, you know, but, you know, obviously behind them, you have people like Tony Atlas and other performers, you know, like there's a clear, you know, linkage, like from these older performers who did have to, you know, suffer probably some indignities that we may never even know. But like, the fact that they got on TV made you guys like watch and think about this as a career, as a possibility, as a horizon that you could explore. Like, it was very important to me, like that we nailed that aspect of it. Like, you guys come from communities that supported you, like within the profession and without.
One of the things that I think to that end that I think we tried to get to within this book, and it's funny, we talk about the wink and the nod, because sometimes we do our own wink and a nod to each other without saying the thing directly, and you know what we're saying. And so one of the things I'll say is, when you think about the kind of progenitors, the folks who came first, the Black folks who and the brown folks and the Asian, like, listen, this industry has not done pretty much anyone from any marginalized background any favors in terms of getting out there and having the space to be themselves until very recently. And I think the thing that one of the things we wanted to emphasize was, maybe back then there was one locked door and you couldn't get through that locked door because it was locked, and you had to go through the door that they would open for you and say thank you to it. Now they're like, well, none of the doors are locked, but there are 1,000 doors in front of you and they don't tell you which is the right door to go through. There are other ways they put pressure on you. You are in a labyrinth instead of it being just a hallway. And they're like, but there's no locked doors. Why can't you get to the end? And so we wanted to try to represent that part of what it means to be Black in the world right now in any industry, where everybody has a diversity day. Everybody has, you know, changes the Twitter logo or whatever. And I'm not even talking about a specific business here, but this is just the world we're in, is one in which to be marginalized means to play a game in order to succeed. And it's like, well, how do you represent that and recognize that challenge is real, that's a struggle, even though it doesn't look like the old struggle? You know what I mean? Like, that's what y'all have managed to accomplish is an accomplishment, even though it doesn't look like the accomplishments of old, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's an incredible analogy.
Wow.
Take it. It's yours now. Run with it. Run with it. That's why I'm at the cafe late at night when COVID comes through. That's out, working on analogies. Gym for me.
These analogies.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just not hitting it right. You know, I can sense it's off a little bit. Daniel, who was the artist on it, just did an incredible job, by the way, just all the way through. Love his work. He did a great job.
Yeah, Daniel Bayless, our artist on this, like, you know, the thing about making comics is that it's alchemy, right? And you're literally watching your words, which are lead, you know, heavy, dull, uninspiring, get turned into gold, you know, like getting layouts in and character designs in. Like, I'll never forget, like, where I was like, Daniel gets it. So one of the recurring devices that we use in the games is fake
old game school. You said the game, the comic, please. Oh, you mean in the game of comics? Interactive. I thought you meant, I got you. No, no, no.
I'm crossing streams there.
You are crossing streams.
No, no, you play the mental games while you read.
Yes.
But one of the things we put in the comic was a game, a fake old school wrestling game, right?
Yes.
It had its own characters. And then later there's like a Mario Kart version of it. And when I saw those designs that Daniel sent in, I was like, oh, he gets it. Yes. He gets like what the line is supposed to look like. And, you know, there are other, the thing is when you write a comic book script, everybody's different, right? And you can describe what's happening in the panel, in the frame to a really granular degree, right? A lot of detail. Or you can be like, here's a general direction. Let's have this happen, this fight scene. And one of the things Daniel does is he layers so much stuff in the background. There's a part in the second issue where you guys go to a restaurant that is themed around wrestling and some of the posters and stuff that he puts up. Like that was not in the script. That was just him deciding to like, to populate like the world of the comic with all this rich detail that makes it seem like, okay, you guys are living inside the promotion 24/7, even to the point where the restaurants you go to are like crazy with all these old promo posters and whatnot. So it's stuff like that. The other thing he did was like, there's certain scenes where like, he's telling the story like in multiple layers, the stuff inside the ring, the stuff outside the ring, there's even stuff in the audience. And like some of that, yeah, we wrote it, but like the way he kind of plays with time and space is just amazing. I can't say enough.
Also, you just never know. You never know if what you wrote is corny until you saw it, right? Which I'm sure you connect to in some ways. You're like, oh, we have this idea. Let's just see if it works. Yeah. There's a panel where Woods emerges from a cloud of dust and smoke, like a black Goku.
Oh my God.
Like if Magneto, you know, got a real good shape up. And I wrote it and I was like, this could be the corniest thing I've ever written because I just don't know. Like it might be too try hard. It might be too like, I'm really trying to emphasize this like mystery man version of Woods. But then he sent us the proof of it. He sent us like the version of it that he did. And I was like, nah, this is it. In fact, I think I sent that to you.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah. I was like, you have to see this right now. You have to see this right now. But I was like, okay, that's, it's not just reassuring as a writer, but it's like, this is better than I ever imagined it to be. This hits in a way that I couldn't even, because I'm not an artist like that, you know? And that's the other big challenge was there are things about comics that are different about other types of writing, or even about a difference between if you've ever done screenwriting or anything like that. For instance, a comic is a physical thing that you hold and you turn the page. And this is like, people who've written comics before are like rolling their eyes at me because this is one like 101 stuff. But it's probably worth saying, because I think it's a good illustration of it, is when you turn the page, that has an effect because it reveals something to you. And so you think in comics writing about the page turn, about how you can get like a reveal by turning the page. And I'd never done that before. And so Evan was a great guide for me of being like, well, if you move this around, da 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 da, then they can turn the page to reveal the new costume or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, that's an entire layer of storytelling I've never had to think of before. So, but it's really fascinating. It was very fun to do because it was a new skill. It was like working a new muscle group that I didn't even know was there.
Yeah, that's wild to think about. I've never even almost thought about that, but I'll
but I've read comics. I just never, it just, yeah. Yeah,
because sometimes too, like, I would imagine that turning the page and like having that last bottom right panel is needs to be exciting. So I go, oh man, what is, I got to go back and read everything before I can look and see what that is. Like there's something there. And
all that stuff.
That's quite crazy. Cause so for us, I feel like that the similarity between wrestling and something like that was like, is fan reaction while we're out there talking. Because there might be something that we're saying that we think, okay, this is going to be hilarious, or this joke might not hit, so we'll kind of say it, just walk past it and do the next thing. But then when we get out there, it's like flipped reactions, and we've got to be able to think like, okay, that's why this didn't work here and there. And right. So then the next time we go do it, it's adjusted, and it's like kind of figuring out that same process of the reveal. Like where's the most interesting part of what it is that you're doing, and how do you make people want more of it every time you do it?
When that happens, do you adjust it on the fly, or do you wait like a stand-up does to the next time you're doing something similar? So like, let's say you come out and you have like a five types of punches, right? You have five types of punchlines to hit. You know, maybe you're making fun of something that from you know, an opponent, their haircut. Let's say you're going to like, all right, I'm going to hit their haircut. I'm going to hit their corny ass finishing move. I'm going to hit their fashion. And then so like, oh, okay. So this just happened. I said the finishing move, and the way I said it made y'all laugh. At that point, in that, when you're in the ring cutting that promo, do you then adjust because you got that reaction? You're like, oh, they are eating up when I'm making fun of the way he is in the ring. I'm going to hit that now immediately. Or do you go back to the drawing board so that the next time you're out there, you do, or is it both?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of both. You know, if you can like catch it while it's happening. You know, for example, you know how we do the who thing, right? Who, who? Sometimes we'll like forget that. Anytime we say who in a promo, they're going to react. So, you know, we're trying to get some like pertinent information. It might be like a serious thing. And, you know, and all of a sudden you say, and this guy, whoever said that, who, oh, you know, and then, right. So then you just like wait for them to react, you know, but a lot of times even, you know, and the boys will tell you too, with like the whole pancakes thing and the way that came about, we had a lumberjack match. Woods was the chief lumberjack. He decided to bring out a tray of pancakes to be on the side just so he could show that he was the actual chief lumberjack with his cut off flannel and his, you know, his lumberjack hat on. And then all of a sudden the entire match, everyone was chanting, we want pancakes. They couldn't have cared less of what we were doing in the ring, you know? So immediately, like the next time we went out there, we, you know, went to Vince. Like, hey, can we bring pancakes out? He's like, well, do you want them? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's New Day pancakes. Now we're throwing out pancakes to people, you know? So I think we in particular do a really good job of kind of like taking a gauge of what the people are clamoring for and then just giving it to them. Why? You know what I mean? Like if they're asking for something, why wouldn't you give it to them, right? Like that's kind of what we're in the business of doing, whether it be like merchandise or whether it be entertainment. Like if they're asking for something, give it to them or take it away. You know what I mean? Like purposefully. So I think the people who are most entertaining really kind of have at least, you know, some kind of grasp on what the crowd is doing as opposed to just going out and delivering your lines and then that's it. You know, like if you don't capitalize on the connection, then you're really missing out.
Yeah, but it's funny, Austin, when you started to pose a question, I had to think and go through my mental Rolodex because it's been like 16 months since I've cut a promo in front of a crowd, you know? It's been so long that I forget, oh, this is, and again, like we've told the story about us at WrestleMania a few times, but the three of us were together for night one, and we all go out on stage, and I'm kind of, you know, we've been doing this for a while, whatever, it's pro wrestling, but I forgot the feeling you get from people. I forgot the feedback and the energy. So it really, it's such a distinct difference between what we do now. So it's just very different. So it took me a second to remember how did we respond to certain lines and whatnot, but it's just interesting how things have changed just fundamentally in our worlds with the pandemic.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA, I make calls, I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it, you can work out in it, you can go outside, you can go shopping down in your local wherever, and you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns, only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it! Believe me!
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars: The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
One of my favorite things where we get to play with that is when we would do the live events, the house shows, because it might not be on the microphone or it might be on a microphone, but a lot of times it's like physicality in the ring. So we might know, like, you know, this match is about to go down. But when E was, you know, shaking his hips, the crowd like lost their mind. So we might, you know, get ready to wrestle and go, wait. And then E does it again. And then they go crazy. And then like, then we'll get like the other team to do it. And then they boo. And then E and I will both do it. And then the other team will do it, they'll boo again. And then Kofi gets up on the apron and then we all three do it. And then it's like, oh, okay. It's thing, things are just kind of happening. Yeah. But then we have that in our mental Rolodex of not, it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific action, but whether it's an action or something that's said, if we feel that energy come back, it's much easier to feel that when there's people in the building than what we're currently in, which is what we're currently in is best case scenario for the situation. The Thunderdome's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that instant feedback. And I don't know. You guys might have a better way of explaining this, but the energy that you feel when there is a crowd, it's, I don't know. You can like feel it in the air. It's kind of like a pulse.
Yeah.
And it just kind of flows through the arena. And that kind of helps our pacing and our breathing and things like that. And to E's point, when we came out for WrestleMania and there are all those people there, it was like we got like shocked in the back. like with a like electrical like something.
Kind of
I was
problem,
like,
oh
my yeah. Yeah. It was like all of that came back and it was like, what is this feel? Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's I don't know. I say this to say it's interesting because I feel like the things you guys are explaining to us about how these comics work is very much in line with what we're doing on our in our day job.
The thing that it makes me think of too is, so I've done a lot of writing over the years in different formats, and I will always say that my favorite type of writing is the writing I can finish and hit publish on, and it goes out on the internet, and I immediately get a response back for the reason you just said, which is, it's you're in it. You're in the rhythm of it. You get the feedback loop. Okay, people liked it. People didn't like it, but I know what they didn't like about it. I can adjust. I can da-da-da-da-da. Whereas writing a comic, writing a short story, you know, I did a short story in a Star Wars collection last year that, again, I finished a year before that collection came out. And it was, like, cool that it came out, but by the time it came out, it was like, well, was it good? If I read it now, I think it's trash. You know what I mean? Like people say it's good, but they didn't say it when I wrote it. They said it a year later, so it doesn't hit me in the same way.
Right.
So
right.
I feel that, man. It's weird.
Yeah, my work in video games is the same thing. Like, I had to sit on Miles Morales for, like, 2 years before they even announced the game. So, like, we're like, oh, it was just so nerve-wracking because we were also working on the game. And then the movie came out. And I'll never forget, I sat down with some of the guys in the Insomnia. I was like, so, we changing anything? Like, because, you know, we were already well underway. But, like, you know, something you were saying before about, like, knowing to anticipate the crowd and kind of that, you know, the energy that you guys draw from the crowd. It's like, you know, I wrote a Black Panther comic, like, that came out in 2018. And people asked me, hey, did you know the movie was going to be a success? I was like, yes, not to this extent, not to, like, $1 billion success. But I'm like, I know a dude like me has been waiting to see this kind of thing in the entertainment media that I enjoy and consume for literal decades, you know? And your guys' careers and the success of your whole entity as the New Day feels the same way. It's like, and it feels like y'all knew, you know? Like, yes, if only a group of Black dudes could get out here in Dragon Ball Z outfits, you know what I'm saying? In Power Rangers outfits. Like, you guys knew that you were tapping a vein that was rich and deep. I mean, am I making assumptions here?
Not at all. Because I know that a thing that we talk about a lot, and it just, and we don't, I don't mean this in a bad way, but we don't really care how it hits everybody else. Like, it's how does it hit us specifically? Is it funny to us first? If everybody else likes it, that's awesome. And we hope that everybody enjoys it. But the first thing is this funny to us? Do we laugh about this? Do we joke about this? And if we do, then we just do it. And I think that's why people enjoy it, because we are of the same culture. So we're going to laugh at the same things, you know? There's going to be a higher chance that you're going to understand, like you said, the wink and the nod with the things that we're saying that we're doing. And you brought up, like, coming out, like, in Dragon Ball Z gear. Like, when we were kids, there weren't any, like, nerdy wrestlers like that. Or
right.
Definitely not
right.
Any, like, Black nerdy wrestlers who are like, I am Black and I am nerdy and I'm proud of this and I'll still whoop your ass from bell to bell.
Yeah.
Like, that, I never thought in my life that I would ever see that. Mm-hmm. But then when you become a man and you're in this position, you go, you know, I can't see it, but maybe I can be it. And if I can be it, then there's some kid who can see it. And if they can see it, they can believe it. And hopefully their journey to get to where they want to go becomes a little bit easier because they had that inspiration and didn't have to pull it from nowhere, you know? And so that's kind of the whole essence of what we do and why we do it. And that's why I think stuff works, because we all have that same mindset.
I think we also work in a business too, where oftentimes the powers that be can't necessarily buy something unless they see it. Like they have to see three black men who are nerds and good at wrestling and getting over. They can't, like, when we're pitching and spending months trying to get this idea across the board, we're met with a lot of, I don't know about this, but when they see it, and that's our hope too, is our hope is just, and Austin says something that I've always loved, is just referring to the blank slate. And so many times with white performers, you can be anything you want to be. You can be, you know, just this whole, a myriad of characters. But yeah, with us as black performers is you just, and like beyond wrestling too, so many times black performers, black actors, you're stuck in this box. And this is because this is what we perceive a black man about your age to be. And our hope is that we can just have more, like you said, beyond just like black, brown, Asian, gay, like you can be yourself. You can present yourself in a way that feels authentic to you. And the fact that you guys helped to get that across with what you wrote is just, you know, it helps us tremendously, because it's a big part of, like, the wrestling is important to us too, but just,
and you're good at it. Let's be 100% clear.
Thank you.
Let's not sleep on that.
Yeah. But everything else under that entertainment umbrella, like the fact that we have this dope comic, like that is a big part of our careers as well. So thank you guys for being a big part of our careers.
It is huge, man. And I remember when we talked at like Comic-Con, and we were like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to have a comic book out for you guys. And like, my mind is just blown. Number one, like, for me to even like be at Comic-Con, not just as a guest, but as somebody who was like featured on like panels, like what is this world? And then we're talking about like this comic book and this idea that you have. I'm like, why do they want to make comic books about me? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so weird, especially like, having grown up reading so many different comic books and knowing the effect that it had on me, and then thinking about, you know, all the people that are going to be reading this and the effect that it's going to have on them. Like, that to me is just like, it's mind blowing, you know, because like Wood said, like we, you know, or like E said, we were just three guys who, you know, got together, try to save our careers and try to do something special. And it's become so much more. Like, we're talking comic books and Funko Pops and like, you know, just all this crazy random stuff that I would have never in a million years would have imagined that this would have like such an impact, you know, like little me was not thinking about this, you know, like comic books be, you know, so it's just crazy. So thank you again. Like, I can't thank you guys enough for bringing this to life, and not only just bringing it to life, but like we talked about, like in a voice that is true to us, because that is of the utmost importance, you know, maybe even more important. You know, it's cool to like have a comic book and everything, but to have one that actually reflects the way that you feel and it's spoken in your voice, like, come on, man, that's like the difference between like being down here and like over the top and just through the box, you know, through the roof. So thank you so much. It's wow, just unbelievable.
It's weird, again, being part of this process, right? Because you get the art back, and you know, you see what the artist paid attention to and emphasizes. And, you know, there's one panel that makes me really emotional. It's two, actually. They're both in the second issue. And then one of them is when there's a little girl fan who comes across you guys in a moment of crisis. And she asks for a selfie with y'all. And it grabs my heart every time. I wanted to see if you guys had anything that surprised you or made you feel, you know, emotional or shocked, like in the course of reading the comic. If we can avoid spoilers, let's see if we can, but.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, you had brought up the one, so like about having to wait outside the, you know, waiting for just a glimpse and to have like some information from a wrestler. Like, I've done that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went to a SmackDown when I was in middle school, and we were in the parking lot just waiting for wrestlers to come out, you know? And I think it was like Triple H and China at the time came out. They had like a neon green Dodge Stealth, and now we're like following them in their Dodge Stealth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to hear it, like, again, like to read the book, and there's a point in there where I'm just waiting outside the building, you know, waiting for any wrestler just to come out, you know, and give me some information, like that happened, you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, that, and then even like I said with the identity stuff, when we're trying to like find a character, we got to find a character for you to play. Like, these are conversations that like that we've had, you know, that people, you know, would tell us what we need to be, and we're trying on all these like different costumes and just coming up with this and that, you know, some stereotypical stuff, some stuff that we don't feel comfortable doing, but then we say, oh, should we do it so that we can like get our foot in the door? Or like having to think about all of that, like, and just like seeing it unfold on in a comic And again, like, the fact that we didn't talk about this is what blows my mind, because I'm reading this story about what's happened in my life, and I didn't tell you that this happened, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, again, just from, I still need to read the second issue, but from the first one, like, yeah, it just hit, you know, and I was automatically just in and just like sucked in. And it's crazy to be saying that as the person who's featured in the comic book, because theoretically it shouldn't surprise me, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't surprise me, but
we couldn't have been like on the phone with y'all every day being like, would you say it like this or would you say it like this? Like, no, that's not, if that's what we had to do, then we weren't the right people to write the comic. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think for, on mine, I won't give the spoilery parts, but the way that I was interpreted by people above me. So like I was reading it and I like got upset about it again. Like I was then. And that's when I realized, I turned to my wife and I was like, and for like 0.2 seconds, I was like, these mother, they broke this about me. And then it flipped and I was like, no, that's how I felt in that moment. That's how I felt for years. I felt that angst because like I was trying so many things and just getting told, like, we don't know who you are, but you got to find something. It's like, here's 20 things.
Yeah. Oh, that's
too
many. Are you kidding
me? What do you mean that's too many? To pick one? Like, y'all pick one. Like, oh, God. And so, like, getting, like, I haven't felt that for a long time. I felt real good. real good for a minute. And so to get that same exact thing to bubble up now, it was like, man, they did a very good job writing this. Because if that's able to bring me all the way back to that moment, it's almost like I was hypnotized. And just like I could went through it all again. So I don't know how that will like hit other people, if they'll be able to like understand the weird nuances of it.
We can't promise anyone else that our book will be therapy for you. We hope it touches something deep, resonates in some way.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I really loved is... you know, you're producing an official WWE, you know, the company signed off on anything. So it's kind of, and we in many ways have to, especially at the beginning of the podcast, it's really finding this balance of, because if you're saying, oh, the New Day, those three guys didn't get enough opportunities. Well, who was it that didn't give them the opportunities? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, but we're doing this within the confines of this bubble. So it's that finding that balance of kind of like telling the truth, but doing it in a way that everyone says we sign off on this. That I think you guys did a great job with that of not pointing the finger, but not really lying. Like you said, it's fictional, kind of, you know, it. And it was just such a great, because I don't think it should be, you know, it shouldn't have been an accurate day-to-day depiction of our journeys and our lives.
Right.
But I think I love that it was within the spirit of our struggles and it didn't stray too far from that. So you guys, you rode that balance really well, because that can be a challenge, especially, you know, for us too, of being within the bubble, but you know, you can't destroy the bubble. You can't say, you know, and still work within it. So it's a balance you guys did a great job with.
It's crazy because, I mean, we definitely went back and forth on that, right? Not just me and Evan, but us and our editors and like, okay, how do we tell the story without pointing fingers, like you said, without getting, and you know, there are times when I think we would have gone to the mat. That's not an analogy I'm allowed to use here, but I used it for certain decisions. If they had come back and said, oh, you can't tell a story where they run into any obstacles from inside of the WWE, we would have been like, well, then we can't do this book.
Peace.
Someone find someone else, because that's not us. But so we did go back and forth on some stuff. But there is stuff that we also like that lingers over the book, but isn't in the book, because it lingered over the start of the New Day, right? New Day, y'all kicked off in what, 2014, in the summer of 2014, which was, let's say, a very charged summer. We don't say that the Ferguson protests were happening in 2014, right? But this book is a period piece, despite not being a period piece in that way.
Right.
Because that is when y'all started reaching people and started showing Black excellence and started giving people like us something to connect to, you know, on WWE programming. And so that was a thing where I think Evan and I went back and forth and said, well, is there a way to hit this right with the limited page count we have, with knowing that we'll go back and forth on it and we'll have to fight probably, I mean, who knows, right? We didn't even try it. So I can't say for sure what we would or wouldn't have to fight for. But, you know, if you've worked with publishers before, you know that there are things that it's going to be tough to convince people that it's worth including this. If you've worked with anybody above you telling you what your creative yes. thing should be, yeah. you know sometimes you're signing up for a fight. And so there are ways that we try to do just, hey, what is the moment in time? What is the energy like? Why is it yeah. important right now, especially? But yeah, finding that right balance was difficult.
I will say, like, not to belabor the point, but like the choices that you guys made in the ring last summer to do some of the things you guys did,
yes,
like yes. really made us feel like emboldened and justified, in thinking about how we told our story. So, you know, like again, that's beyond the wink and a nod. Sometimes you have to be just like out with it. And be like, okay, this is what matters to us. This is who we are, and show it in a very bold way. So, like you know, all of us have been talking about. It's like, okay, where do you need nuance, and where do you need boldness? You know, and figuring out that as a storyteller to end up on the right side of that. You know, because like I think you guys do in the ring too. You know, like when do we make a statement, and when do we, you know, entertain?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Ferguson because I completely forgot it was around that time too, and around the time we were, I think either we were making the vignettes or the vignettes were airing, but close to that time period.
Yes.
But yeah, I think one of the things with entertainment is oftentimes, you know, there are a lot of people who will clamor for it to be an escape from real life. But to me, entertainment exists while life happens.
Yes.
It's not separate from life. And I think it's been really important for us to represent our interests as far as like nerd culture is concerned. But I think in the same vein, we want to show people, especially during, you know, very difficult time for a lot of people, that the suffering, the crying, the fears that you feel, we feel as well. And that's why I'm glad we had that conversation with Andreas on our podcast to talk about how we felt. Because, you know, the three of us, I thought, you know, like, we're not experts. I don't really have any expert, you know, opinions to offer here, but I can tell you what's on my mind. I can tell you how I feel. And we always want, I think, our act to be relatable. And that's why we've often pulled from, like, we're just scrolling through Black Twitter, what's popping on Black Twitter, that goes in a promo.
Yep.
Because, like, you know, I and you guys, again, great job with that. But I really believe that entertainment shouldn't exist outside of life. It exists while life happens and interweaves at times too.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
People, I get it when someone says, listen, I just worked 60 hours this week. I just want to come home and turn off my brain and da 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 da. I get that impulse. But that's for me, I've always put that on the person who wants to do that to find something to fit that, what they need in that moment. I want to turn off my brain and just go play Call of Duty for da 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 da. And I'm going to ignore the stuff of Call of Duty that maybe if I wasn't working 60 hours, I'd maybe have some things to say about, because let me just play multiplayer with some friends. Let me play Fortnite, whatever. Let me, whatever that is. I get that. But I don't think you should ever put that on the entertainer or the artist that they need to conform to that hypothetical audience member who doesn't want to engage that day in something right. deeper, because otherwise you end up putting artists in a position where they're sitting with a story or an emotion or something that could really help someone or could speak to an experience that someone else is having. They might not even know they're having it, right? This is like one of the ways people traditionally back in the day, you know, when literature criticism first started, one of the first things that people said about literatures and plays was like, hey, it's weird that Hamlet is so grief-stricken, but he can talk about it. Because when I'm sad, I can't talk about nothing. And so that's one of the things that makes great entertainment and great art great, is you because you're an artist, because you're a performer, you can capture that feeling and communicate it in a way that someone who's going through it might not be able to. And so in moments when something real is happening, in some ways, when my entertainment refuses to engage with it, it feels even more fake. It feels phony, because it's like, all this time, y'all been talking about Black excellence. Y'all been talking about this and that. In this moment, you're not going to step up and also talk about what it means to be Black in a moment like this. And so, maybe you don't have to say it super direct, but I need to feel it from you. And what Evan said about how y'all, you know, reflected those feelings last year really meant something to us, because it was, we knew, you know, we had conviction in y'all, obviously, but it was vindicating to see you reflect that back and be like, yeah, that's right. Like, this is why we care about this project, because they will get into a time machine and do goofs. but even, I mean, honestly, even think about the time machine bit. The time machine bit has some real stuff in it. That time machine bit wasn't just empty goofs, right? So that it really meant a lot to us last year to be working on that project and to see y'all, you know, really use the platform to be the best versions of yourselves in that moment. Not to just go around in a compliment circle, which is what we're doing at this point.
We'll do a lot of that.
Okay, so before we end, and I don't know how we're doing on time, but I need y'all professional wrestling performers. I hope I'm not breaking up too much. There's something about my co-writer, which you guys may not necessarily know. Within the video game community, there's a series of live events called PAX.
Oh, no.
And, you know, people come for board games and video games, and, you know, they have one in the Pacific Northwest, PAX Prime. They have PAX South, which Woods, you and I met at. There's one in Boston.
Yeah.
And so for a long time, there was a running promotion, for lack of a better term, that was called PAX Mania, basically WrestleMania within PAX. So it will get physical sometimes. People will take wild bumps. But the thing that you don't know about Austin Walker,
it's true,
my co-writer and friend, is that he's a man of many AKAs.
Oh, I forgot about this. Ooh, I do have a lot of them. I got a lot of them. I haven't used them in a long time because I died on stage. Or I didn't die. Professor Killer died on stage. Do you want me to? Can I get ranked?
Let's hear it.
Yeah,
we got it.
Professor Killer was the name of the character. He was very much like, you know, I put on like a Teddy Riley song and then just like spoke my game about what it meant to be alive in America. and you have to understand, I was coming at this as someone who was doing like a PhD in theory and philosophy. And so there's some philosophical names in here, but they're mixed in. So like a low key one was like the new Nietzsche, right? Because like I spit game like that. Better ones. Here we go. And also some of these are just like, you need to understand our audience is primarily white. You and I know you know what that feels like, and is also very nerdy. So things like you've heard of Lars von Trier. I'm Bars von Trier.
Okay.
I called myself the Caramel Kaiser because I like to pronounce it right. Caesar is incorrect. You actually pronounce it Kaiser. I was the Ozymandias of the Octagon. God, I'm trying to remember them now because it's been so long. David Foster Flawless. If you've heard of the writer David Foster Wallace, obviously. It was a very video game heavy thing. So of course I was LeBron Games.
Hey.
I was Swagnito. I was Slaverham Lincoln. Ooh. I was you've heard of Dr. Manhattan. Well, I live and worked out of Brooklyn at the time, so I was Dr. Brooklyn. God, there are too many of them. I just don't. LeBron James Baldwin. Poe Dameron from Star Wars. I was Flo Dameron for a little while there. It's been a minute. I can't.
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry.
Listen.
Austin, yes. I've got a full list here.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Let me send this over to you here.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Okay. DJ Professor A, after DJ Professor K from Jet Set Radio. The Black Marx. I'm a Marxist. That's just a true thing. Real names, no gimmicks. Which is a very funny thing to say after listing a bunch of AKAs. Yes. The Black Rushmore, Young West Melanin, Young Kafka, KRS-3, Earn Cheese Sanders. This is when Bernie Sanders was doing well in 2016. Big Texture is a very in-joke. Don't even worry about Big Texture.
Big Texture?
Big Texture. Some video games have very large textures, but it's... It's very in. Don't worry about it.
It's like the details they paint the environment in.
The Black Clark Kent, Young, the editor in Beef, I am mixed. I'm sure you can tell from my light skin tone. So I occasionally call myself the half blood prince, let me tell you, has not aged well given some of the Harry Potter stuff. Let's say it is what it is. I did a whole promo where I was just asking a bunch of questions: why this, why that, why this, and so I called myself Malcolm Y in that promo. Some of these aren't mine. Some of these someone else wrote. I don't know these. This is a Wikipedia situation.
See, that's a problem. This is a problem right there.
These are not mine. I disclaim some of these.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that the same event that Dan broke Greg Miller's ribs?
That is exactly that event. Yeah. That is exactly that event.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So this is a video game wrestling event where we play video game wrestling games to see, you know, who will take home the belt and blah, blah, blah. Dan genuinely broke someone's ribs during one of these events.
Jeez.
What am I good friend?
Stiff.
Working stiff.
He just, all he had to do was drop an elbow on him.
I didn't know when you drop an elbow, you're not supposed to throw like 3/4 of your ass onto their back.
Why not? It seems more effective that way, evidently.
Yeah, I'll send you the video sometime. It did not go well for Greg. I just sent him a ton of Oreos to apologize.
God.
What a guy.
Was it a shoot is the question.
I did not mean to hurt Greg. I certainly did not. I would not have done that.
You mean to hurt everyone.
Every time he touched me, he hurt me.
But since you're on here, you got a gas up for us?
I do. Usually I read these off of Twitter, but this time it's a special one. I've got one coming in from a young man named Austin Walker.
Hey, guys.
You're on the line, actually.
Wow. Austin, take it away. Well, Dan told me y'all did these, and I was like, well, I need one. So this was the first comic I ever wrote. Evan, you know, showed me the light of day, helped me figure out how to do this. But the next one I have to write, I'm writing a pitch for one, which means writing the first issue and then shopping it around. And I just need a little help with the confidence to believe that I can do that. I don't know. I'm not going to have Evan on my side this time. I'm not going to have that mentor. So if you could help me feel like that's a thing I could do, that would mean the world.
Austin, my brethren with the same name. If this past 45 minutes or so has not been a complete gas up for you already, we're going to give you just a little bit more. Mm. Because you are a man who has put your blood, sweat, tears, your soul, your everything into your work. And I know that because I read these comics. They were fantastic. Everything that you were able to bring to the table to put into them has done nothing but create a masterpiece. And that is why, as you are shopping this comic around, you might not even have to shop it around. You might just shop it, and the first person that sees it immediately wants it. But then you got to make sure those other offers are coming in as well. So you are going to shop it around. That's right. You're going to go to the highest bidder because they're going to be fighting over your masterpiece. You got this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A bidding war. A bidding war indeed. That's right. You know, you looking for a gas up. Like Wood said, I mean, you've seen, you heard everything that we said about you and how you were able to connect all of the different themes in our lives into this book. I'm sure you were great at connecting the dots when you were a child and you were having all these assignments. You know what I'm saying? You were connecting the dots. 1, 2, 3, 4. Easy. It's easy work for you, man. Come on, man. Gas up? Nah, Austin, get your ass up. Get your ass up. Okay? You got me cussing in the house and the kids were in the next room. They gonna grow up today for you, Austin. Gas up. Get your ass up. You know what I'm saying? Because you got you already got what it takes, man. You don't need no gas ups, bro. The bidding war is real, man. People going to be coming to you, and it's to the highest bidder. You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to cash out. Big money, Kofi Kingston, love that money, cash, la mula do, baby. So you know I'm all about that. I'm all about that green, them ducats, you know what I'm saying? And I love to see it. I love to see it. Gas up, get your ass up, and strut. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. You already know. You already got this. Mm-hmm. You already got this.
Yeah, Austin, you are a man amongst boys. You are a god amongst these mere mortals. They don't stand a chance. And you know what? There's a lot of focus on making the pitch too. But if you need three men to walk into any room and to just offer the mere suggestion of physical threats, I will walk around with a tire iron in my hand. I am willing to go to every room that you need to offer mere physical intimidation. I will oil up. I will take my shirt off and I will do a lot of flexing until you get this thing sold the way you want it sold. So you got no worries. You got no worries. If your incredible talents alone aren't enough, they should be enough. But in case you got three brothers oiled up, we'll come in greased up now. I'm not afraid to get greased up. Damn. I do that on the regular. We'll come in shirtless and greased up, you know, ready to do whatever you need us to do. So by your intellect or by our physical threats, we're there. It's happening. And I'm excited for you. And
I'm ready now. I'm ready to go. I gotta end this podcast. I got work to do.
I thought for sure, E, when you were saying grease up, you kind of reached out of frame. And I was like, let this dude have a bottle of baby oil right here and start greasing up. Let him pull out a bottle.
Next time.
Ready to some go. Vegetable oil. Some EVOO.
Start lathering up.
On site, you know?
Oh, we selling? Let's go.
We trying to get the bid?
Right now,
you got the avocado oil.
Oh my god! I need you to be an auctioneer.
Oh my god!
You just changed the whole format. None of that fast talking. You say, "Who want to buy?" That's you for 50. Who else wants some of this?
You in the green dress? I know you want 10,000, don't you? Yeah, that's what I thought. $10,000.
That's a sketch. Man, cut this. You can't let anyone else have that. That's yours. Y'all got to make that.
Pressuring people into spending money.
I think you're onto something.
You want it for 10,000, don't you? Don't you?
Holy man.
Well.
Oh, God.
Dan told me, like, you should let them gas you up. And I was like, I don't know. That feels kind of rude going on their show and I feel good about it now.
That's what first ever live gas up, man. Yeah. That's history.
You legit.
There will never be another first.
You wrote a comic book gassing us up. Like, the least you can do is...
You know what? Yes, I'll take it. I'll take it.
More than fair trade.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. Where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Austin_Walker.
And I'm on Twitter at Evnarc, EVNARC.
Perfect.
Evan is not a narc, though. I should just say that.
Yeah, you can do all the dirt you want around me.
I was like, are you going to finish that sentence? Go ahead and DM me all your crimes. I won't tell anybody. Fine. Well, thank you guys so much for being on. We appreciate you. Everybody listening, make sure you check this comic book out on July 7th. It drops.
New day, the power of positivity.
Boom. If it's sold out everywhere, then they'll have to do more.
That's right.
Yes.
They'll have to. Mm-hmm. That's right. 7-7. Make it sell out.
There we go.
7-7. There you go. See? This is why you're on promo duty.
Like, see the numbers. It's the matrix out there. What can I snatch together and make into a thing?
So 7-7, go check it out. You can find us all over the socials. You can check me out at Austin Creed on Instagram and Twitter. And you can check him out on my YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down. Just go there and search it. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you listen on Apple, go ahead, give us that 5-star review. There you go, Eve. And all your friends that want to listen to this, tell them they can search in whatever podcast situation they have. Just type in The New Day and click the pink picture with the three black guys' faces in it. Thank you for listening. I'm a G4 host. E, what you got?
I mean, we should go Kofi next.
You're gonna skip over me. You're just gonna skip right over me.
I was gonna let Kofi go last.
Because I have the least to say, you know, because I have the least to chill. Okay.
It was gonna be funny.
Oh, see, now my headphones came out. You messed me all up. Hold on a second. Let me plug my damn headphones back in.
See, that's me thinking on the fly, Austin.
Here we are.
It is. Yeah.
Now, if you want to catch me, you can catch me at True Kofi on the Instagram and the Twitter.
Yes. I am at WWE Big E on Twitter and on Instagram. Usually I don't want your follows. I don't want your pity follows. In fact, if you follow me, you should unfollow me. I want those follows real low. Everyone else trying to go high, I'm trying to go low. Trying to do something different. Just see how it works out. I don't know. But you should follow at Our Heroes Rock to see the progress on our short film on Twitter and on Instagram. We're doing some things. Also, make sure to watch Laser Wolf. It's a fun show. It's on HBO Max. Season one is. Season two should be on shortly. There was one episode that featured all three of us. It was very fun. A ton of fun. Indeed. And also, did you mention our podcast shirt? You probably did.
I didn't. You go ahead.
Okay. It's not, apparently it's not on Up Up Down Down Shop, even though I've been saying that for months. But it should be. Yeah. Go to WWE Shop to get our podcast t-shirt as well and support your boys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.